You ever called somebody a scumbag? How about a lowlife? I bet you have. I also imagine it was meant in a derogatory manner, which is usually how they're used. But let me ask you, what was that person doing when you called them that? Were they homeless or begging for food? I bet not. That'd kind of make you a bad person, right? I don't think that of you. Were they stealing from you? That's probably a good time to use these. I'll bet it was some business dealing you experienced, or some fucking BMW driver cutting you off, or some fucker that's just doing so well in life that it just can't be legal. Like they just always win and they're just shitheads. Well, I'm gonna tell you from my perspective, scumbags and lowlifes are two different class of people. And I bet you never gave that any thought. Well, as luck would have it, I have. A scumbag, now understand I'm with you here. True scumbags can fuck off. They probably scammed you or someone you love, or they're just shifty and fucking always on some angle, right? And we can really do without them. Now, lowlifes. Lowlifes are simply people that make the kind of decisions that normal people can't make for themselves. Good people thinking outside the box, essentially because their box is broken, but it's still a box. Takes a real son of a bitch to double down on taking the low road. But without the low road, there's no high road for you to travel on. It's like the perspective of whether or not someone's beautiful. It's subjective, is it not? And hey, for the record, anyone that says everybody's beautiful is a fucking liar. They're just trying to fit in or kiss somebody's ass. Because without ugly, there is no beautiful. And for that matter, how would we understand peace without conflict? How would you know the life you're living is the one you prefer if there was no example of what you don't agree with? Yo, I'll tell you right now, with all the pride in the world, I am a lowlife. I think you know this by now. My name's Jason Farias, and this is my madness method.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life.
So I should add some clarity here as we jump into this story. You know, my mama, in all her greatest efforts to keep me on the straight and narrow, would always say things like, you know, you don't want to grow up to be a lowlife. You don't, you know, that person's a lowlife. You don't want to be that, or that friend is a lowlife. Like, kind of that was her go-to derogatory statement to try to point out things I didn't want to be. But unfortunately, with my skewed view of the world, I was looking at these people that were quote unquote lowlifes, and I'm seeing them being successful to some degree. I'm seeing them drive nice cars and wear nice clothes and have the good time and be in the places that I'm trying to be. And I'm seeing them surrounded by friends, and so I'm looking at it like, well, you tell me I don't want to be a lowlife, but they kind of got everything I'm looking for. You know, at least it in my younger years and at this time in the story in Vegas, like being a lowlife, you know, I was the shit. You know what I mean? Because here's the thing, like now that I'm older and I have a different view and a better understanding of life, is the people that I knew, they were quote unquote lowlifes. You know, these were just good people that made decisions for the situation they were in, not decisions to get themselves out of the situations they were in. Instead of thinking, oh, hey, I'm making some bad life decisions, I got to make some better ones, they just made one on how to deal with that particular scenario. And that's a rabbit hole in and of itself that you just head down and you wind up in these bad spaces, right? It wasn't until I got older that I fucking own that shit. You goddamn right, dude, I'm repping for the low life. That's just, it's who I am. I'm successful in my career. I mean, hell, let's be real honest. I was pretty successful at selling dope too. Being a quote unquote lowlife is really just a description of my decision-making skills and not who I was as a person. Because you see, the lowlifes that I knew, they were all good people. They were just in bad ways. Take Hero, okay? My boy Hero is definitely a lowlife. You know what I mean? Like he's tied up in some nefarious situations at minimum. You know, Robin and all her friends, call girls and shit, lowlifes. They took the low road instead of the high road. I'm not regretting being a low life at all. You know, there's a super negative connotation to being a low life, and I, you know what? I think I want to make it my life's work to change that. You ever heard people talk about fucking old money and new money, right? And old money being people that are generational wealth, talk shit on people that are newly wealthy. It's really no different than people that aren't involved in negative or illegal activities looking down on people that are. I don't see a difference. It's same shit, opposite ends. High life, low life. Doesn't make people bad. But I'm gonna tell you know what low lives are? They're fucking fun. You know what I mean? Like, let me share with you a story of how horrible being a low life was for me. Hero and I got to hanging out, and I'm not really sure why this situation is what triggered what happened, but Cindy and Hero and I were out and about on the strip, and we happened to pass a jewelry store. I don't know. I had some money in my pocket. And my thing was always that I wanted the band of my watch to match the bracelet on my other wrist. And I don't know why it caught my eye, but there was a bracelet in this case that was the same pattern or really close to the watch I was wearing. And I stepped in there and I asked to look at it. And I'll never forget the lady. "Oh, sir, that's platinum." She had like this, I don't know, French accent, maybe it was, but she kept saying platinum. And it kind of made me giggle because then, are we saying it wrong? Is she saying it wrong? Is she just saying it because of her accent? But, anyways, I got distracted for a second based on how she was saying it. There was no reason I couldn't have bought this platinum bracelet, except for two things. One, my watch wasn't platinum. So, why would I wear a platinum bracelet that matches it? Just like I won't mix name brands, I don't know that I should be mixing metals. You know, that looks goofy. That's like wearing old money and new money, same time. And then the other thing kicked in. Like, I'm still paying by the week at the place I live, but I got enough money in my pocket to buy a platinum bracelet. And I started pulling the money out, and the lady got really excited, like, "Oh, this fucking dude's actually got cash." And I just put it back in my pocket. I was like, "Nah, thanks. I'm good." And, you know, they even started talking down, like, "They'll come down this much," and the whole thing. And I was just good because it didn't make sense for me to blow that kind of coin. There were better things I could do with my money. You see, as this quote unquote low life that I am, I also would make sure the people around me were taken care of. If I saw somebody that was homeless, I'd give them $100. You know, if I was paying for my couple of weeks in advance at Harbor Island and I saw somebody that was in distress because they couldn't afford it, I would pay it for them. Like, I wouldn't tell them I'm paying it. I would just, as they left, I would say, "Hey, whoever that is, I'm gonna cover, you know, a couple of weeks for them. Don't say nothing. Here's the money," and I'm gone. That to me made more sense to spend my money on. So I walked away from the sale of that bracelet that day. And for some reason, Hero saw that as great self-restraint. You know, he later had shared that with me. But the reason we even had the conversation is because, you know, Hero was connected. I'll be honest, I don't know the exact connection, how this wound up, but we found ourselves invited to the private soft opening of the Wynn Hotel. This was by invite only. There was the private soft opening, then there was a soft opening where locals could come, and then there was the grand opening. And we got invited to go to the private soft opening. I was like, "Yeah, fuck it, I'll go." You know, and once Hero extended the invite, he was like, "I gotta tell you, like, your business practices," he kind of like gave me his opinion, the way you handle yourself, the way you don't seem to disrespect the money in your pocket, and the way you deal with people. He's like, "I thought this would be a fun night for you. You seem like you'd fit in. Maybe, you know, make something of the night." And I was like, "Yeah, fuck it, dude, let's go." So, you know, when you're supposed to be showing up in fucking suits and nice dresses and all this stuff, like, I made sure Cindy was good, you know, like, I always made sure Cindy was taken care of. I would even go as far as, you know, sending her and her friends on little shopping sprees. You know, here's fat wad of cash, go have fun. If something would have caught her eye in a mall or a store or something, and she'd say, "Hey, I really like that," I would go ahead of her and I would pay for that plus some other shit, and I would just send her to go in and, you know, "Hey, go get that thing you liked, whatever it was, a purse, a bag, a dress, whatever, and a couple other things. So she was always looking good anywhere we went. But I just stayed true to myself. You know, I put on some nice pants and a button up, but I wasn't wearing a fucking suit. I'm not going to front on who I am. Like, I'm still grimy a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm still a lowlife. I got to represent. And the night came, and Hero picks us up, got our little invitations, the whole thing, man. It was wild. And we get there, and I've got some coin in my pocket, you know, I don't know, somewhere between 30 to 50 in my pocket. It was a lot of money. I had a Hero hold some of it in his bag, and we get to the hotel. You know, they wand you and the whole shit, and you go to the cage, and well, actually, it was a very nice reception going in, and you get champagne, and they welcome you, and it's like a big to-do, and you know, this hotel was beautiful. It was next level. You know, I mean, there was the Bellagio, and there was you know, the all the nice ones that had just opened up. The Bellagio comes to mind most because I remember walking through there thinking that was amazing. But the Wynn being the newest, most up-to-date, most modern, I mean, this hotel was beautiful. It was like stepping into a fucking fairy tale. So we cruise around, we're checking things out. You know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, the addict that we are, we were like addicted to like penny slots and quarter slots and keno machines and shit. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things when you're good and on one at 2, 3 in the morning in Vegas, you take off and you go pay penny slots. And so we're checking out all these, the newest slot machines, and how, you know, all the noises and the fanfare that was going on. At Hero's like, yo, man, let's hit the cage, get some chips. And I was like, fuck it, all right, let's go. And so we get to the cage, and you know, I'm kind of nervous, you know what I mean? Because I mean, I got a lot of money on me, and to just pull that out in any other scenario that existed in my life at that time could mean trouble. You know, if I start pulling out wads of $100 bills, I got to worry about some dope fiend fucking trying to get me for it, you know. But so I'm like kind of trying to slyly put this over. And but I look to my left and I look to my right, and there's just other folks just with stacks of money buying fucking chips. And I was like, oh shit, have I made it? Like that's really where my mind went. Like, oh shit, I've made it. Nah, these are like real millionaires and shit. Like, they earn their money, and you did not, buddy. But nonetheless, you couldn't convince me of it that night. And just stack 100 after stack 100 after stack 100, and we get our chips, and I gave a bunch of the chips to Hero. Like, I certainly didn't expect him to buy his own chips that night, so I took care of him. And I wasn't really good at table games, you know. Like, I, you know, roulette was good. And I think back about the time that I did an overnight trip with the boys, how we did a 24 turnaround to Vegas. I was pretty good at counting cards. Like, up to like two decks, you know. You had to go to the older, like kind of downtown Vegas areas to only deal with two decks. You know, now in these bigger casinos, it's a, you know, 5, 10 deck huge shuffle. And you know, really, they do that many sets in one group to make it difficult for you to count the cards. Well, at the older, you know, the horseshoe and the nugget and all those kind of shits, you could find a table with two decks. In this 24-hour trip with the boys back in the day, I was sitting in a table and I was doing well. You know, I went down on that trip with $100 in my pocket, and that $100, I came home with 90. Okay, so my whole trip and the food and the alcohol and the whatever was all covered. I lost $10 total. But anyway, I was sitting at this table, and I was counting cards, and I was doing well, but I was making sure I lost every now and then, so it wasn't like blatantly obvious. And fucking Chris was with us, and Chris stumbles up, drunk as fuck, dude, and he throws some chips down, and he goes to play, and he fucking leans over to me like three hands in, and he was like, hey, how many queens are left? And I looked at him, I said, what the fucking time slows down. And I look at the dealer, and the dealer looks at me, and he does the hand clap, flip his hands, and walks away from the table. I said, motherfucker, let's go, dude. I snatched up my shit and we bounced. You know, I didn't even bother cashing in those chips. I saved those for like it was years before I went back to Vegas after that trip, and I still had, well, most of those chips anyway. Some of them got lost, but I didn't even bother trying to cash them in because I knew that that dealer was getting somebody's attention to say that we were counting cards, and that is not the shit you want to get caught for in Vegas. So here I am at the Wynn, fast forward a bunch of years. I'm still pretty good at counting cards. Then I thought, you know what? Roulette's like, I mean, I guess it's all chance, right? House has the advantage. It's all really chance. But I did some roulette and I lost. Or maybe the stakes weren't high enough, other than just throwing a pile of money on a number or a color and calling it good. So we started playing blackjack. And between blackjack and hitting a couple of times on roulette, I think I was up like 150 grand, maybe 180 grand. And the night got away from me. You know, I came in with a certain amount of money I was prepared to lose, and I was fucking balling that night. I mean, come on, dude. Like, it doesn't matter what it is that I made when I sell. It doesn't matter how much I came in. I mean, when you're sitting with 180K in front of you, like, that does something weird. You know what I mean? Like, I could have rounded that up and been like, hey, hero, it was good to know you, dude. Here's 30 grand. I'm going home. Okay, and when I say home, I mean home to Cali. You know, like that really could have set my life. Like 150K, if I had handed off 30, 150K would have started my life pretty well. And fuck no, didn't do that. Doubling down, splitting card, like I got out of control. And you know what's fucked up? I didn't even lose at all at the tables. I started dumping hundreds into fucking quarter machines and penny machines because I was having a good time, and yeah, them motherfuckers weren't hitting on soft openings. And it didn't faze me. It didn't faze me at all. The fact I was up, I lost it all, and the night was over. And I had a fucking fantastic time. For a minute, I wasn't a drug dealer. For a minute, I wasn't a drug addict. Don't get me wrong, I was high as fuck. Okay. Let's not get it twisted. But in that moment, I felt like I belonged. I felt like I had achieved something. I guess it's kind of like, you know, these some guy that, you know, invents something and it finally takes off and he makes his first million, right? Like you feel accomplished. And here I am, a fucking drug dealer that's paying for his fucking bullshit place by the week with 150, 180K sitting in front of me. And I just let it, I let it get the best of me. And you know what? I don't regret it. Because here's the thing. If I'd have walked with all that money, I wouldn't have gone home to California. I wouldn't have straightened my life out. To be perfectly honest, that 180K probably would have got me killed. That night, I was repping for the lowlifes hard. I stood out. I wasn't in a suit. I didn't give a fuck. It wasn't slowing me down. I was betting bigger than the fucking guys to my left and right. I can assure you that. But I think those guys to my left and right also watched me lose all my shit too. So, I mean, who am I impressing? But that was everything I ever wanted. You know, that feeling of being in the right place at the right time. I belong at this table. I belong with these people with all this money and whatever, because I got the same money and I'm successful in what I do. Don't worry about what I do. Going all the way back to when I was younger, and my mama telling me, "You want to be like that low life?" And yeah, I kind of do. 'Cause see, here's the thing: think about all of the news stories you hear about Elon Musk, right? Oh, he's a fucking low life, that motherfucker. This, that, and the other thing he does with what he did with Twitter and his businesses, and you know, oh, Bill Gates is a fucking low life. Everything he's doing with our food system, blah blah blah. Yeah, well. They're really not worried about what you're saying about them, because those lowlifes, they're doing all right by themselves. In my perspective, you kind of got to be a lowlife to be real successful. You have to be willing to overlook personal relationships. You have to be willing to overlook love and honesty. You really have to overlook some fundamental pieces of life that make you a good person. Because really good people, I've met some really good people. In the trenches, people that take care of people in their neighborhood, people that donate their time at their churches, people that take care of homeless and take care of other addicts, and they go home to their apartment and they drive their piece of shit car. And those are the people that should be at these tables at the Wynn. You know, these people that give their all, their heart and their soul to the betterment of man. And those aren't the people that get the reward. People that get the reward are these lowlifes that overlook that shit. Now, today I'm a different kind of lowlife today. Today I'm a yes, ma'am, no, sir. Thank you. I hold doors. I do my best to if I see somebody in need, I'm going to help them. If I can donate my time, if like I'm doing this podcast because I want to reach out to the other lowlifes, those people that have been shunned because of their decision making. That's why I'm doing this. That's the kind of lowlife I am. I accept it. I accept that I'm one of those. And it's cool. It's good. I don't mean it derogatory. I fucking own that shit. Because you know what? I may also just be the kind of lowlife that me and my people believe in do unto others as you would have do unto you. So if something happens to my people, my kids, my wife, you'll probably be fine. But people you love may become hard to find. I just might be that kind of lowlife too. But man, don't discredit yourself or anybody you look at. Oh, that guy's a lowlife. Man, I've been hearing that shit since I was a fucking teenager. I've been negative examples in someone's stories on countless occasions. Oh, Jason's a lowlife. And here's the thing, you guys, I was usually the one trying to talk my friends out of doing the dumb shit that we were doing. Especially when you go back before the drugs and shit got involved, I was like the square peg. I was always the one that was like, nah, we shouldn't do that. And then we do it anyway. And then, I mean, I guess it speaks more volumes on my friend making skills, but they would blame it on me. Oh, Jason, da da da. And I would just accept it. It's fine, dude. I'll be your Huckleberry. You can blame me. There's no problem. I can take it. It's okay to be a lowlife. It's a damn good time. Being a lowlife has had me buying cars, buying sound systems. It's had me at soft openings at the Wynn. It's put me in first class in plane flights that I could afford to get. It's had me surrounded by beautiful women. I mean, lucky for me, I had the most beautiful of them all. You know, it is nice to have eye candy, but man, my girl was some next level shit. That's what being a lowlife got me. It got me the woman of my dreams. It had me surrounded by beautiful women. It had money in my pocket. It had trips. It had wild times. So anyway, I just wanted to take a minute and tell this story that there are some damn good times. And I do not regret nor mind anybody that wants to point a finger at me and call me a lowlife, you goddamn right I am. I am the embodiment of taking the low road and winding up on the top. So y'all listen. This is a short one, but I really wanted to get this one out because I feel like I talk about like this negative stuff and it stays negative. I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't all negative. I had a blast. As much as I wish a lot of it didn't happen, it put me where I am today, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade talking to you. I wouldn't trade telling the story. I wouldn't trade my kids, my wife, my life. I wouldn't trade any of it. So I just wanted to get this one out there. I'm repping for the lowlifes, day in and day out. It's okay. Don't let people tell you that being a lowlife is a negative. It's a fucking positive. Stay on the up. Stay winning. Just keep your eyes open and your eyebrows down. You'll be all right. So, yeah, man, I'm Jason Farias. I'd love to hear from you. You can hit me up on mymadnessmethod819 at Gmail, mymadnessmethod on Instagram, my website, 819product.com. That's the word 8. The number is 19, wordproduct.com. Check out what's going on there. Man, rapping for the low life. My name's Jason Farias, and this is my madness method.
I turn the Ritz into a poor house. It's like eviction number 4 now. Go ahead and I shit on the floor now.
Girl, go ahead and show me how you go down.